Bibles out today. Of course, you know we're going to be eventually into Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to bring a thought to you this morning titled, Go Forward. Now, beloved, today marks the 52nd Sunday of 2019. Our first Sunday of this year that we're in currently, we established a vision of standing at the crossroads. It was our theme for 2019. You can see it with the banners beside and obviously with the screenshots that we've had up prior to the message now. It was supported by the conviction that every soul stands in the valley of decision. To the saved, that decision is choosing to witness the pure, everlasting, life-giving gospel to those that they come across in their life. To the lost is to choose in receiving or rejecting the free gift of eternal salvation. But all stand. Every living creature, every living person in this world today stand at the crossroads in the valley of decision. Beloved, over the last 52 weeks, over the last year, there have been 52 opportunities to grow just through the morning sermons. We preached a sermon series for the most part of the year titled The Christian Mindset. We address such areas within the Christian mindset of the first stage, the Christian mindset of intentionality, which included topics of being disciplined, making decisions, direction, desire, defeat, defense, and then finally, determined. After that, we moved into stage two, which was the Christian mindset of influence. And we looked at our relationship with the Father, which addresses our fear, our relationship with the Son, which addresses our faith, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is the answer to our fruit, and our relationship in prayer, which is the answer to our fruitfulness. And we then concluded that entire series in stage three, known as the Christian Mindset of Initiative, where we looked at being involved and having integrity. Beloved, since the conclusion of that series, we have heard different sermons on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard about the blessed hope, the adversary, the devil, and many other sermons that we've spoken on the Sunday mornings. Every single message, every single sermon preached from this pulpit was designed and prayed over to help each and every one of you to grow in grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and have an effect on the world around you. My friend, there's 52 opportunities that you had to learn from the Word of God. We've had 52 Wednesdays this past year, most of which had two Bible studies offered. We've taught through the book of Romans, almost finished the book of Philippians. Preston and I have taught on character studies with ladies in the Bible, which has been great and wonderful. We look forward to getting back into that in the new year. And you've heard lessons on prayer, lessons on sharing the gospel. You've heard lessons on commitments. We've had several Q&A sessions to where your own personal questions could be addressed biblically and other types of lessons you've heard. There have been nearly 175 sermons/Bible studies preached throughout the year 2019. And every single one of them are intended or were intended to equip you as believers, as saints, as Christians, to be better, to make a difference in your own life and in the lives of others. So now here is the question. As you look back over the last 52 weeks, have you done all to capitalize on what has been given to you at Sarum Chapel Independent Baptist Church? The opportunities were there. The offering was made. The messages were preached. The lessons were taught and the prayers were made. But the question is, what did you do with that which was given? How did you allow the Word of God to shape, to mold, and to change your life through the message that was given? So, beloved, the ultimate question today, how well did we do last year so that we can go forward in the new year? Open your Bibles to Hebrews in chapter 12, if you will, this morning. There's no need to stand. We've already stood for the reading of the Word of God today. But Hebrews in chapter 12, we're going to reread verses 1 through 4 again, but only address a couple of these verses in our message today. But Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Brother Preston, if you'll be so kind this morning to bless our sermon today, I'd appreciate that. Beloved, athletic competitions were very popular in the days of the birth and the growth of Christianity, just like it is today. And in every province outside of each palace, there were arenas where chariot races as well as gladiatorial battles would occur. Some of these scenes were between slaves and the other centurions. Some of them had escalated to where they just utilized it as a way to execute Christians after the faith was proclaimed illegal by Nero, when he blamed the great fire that he started himself in the marketplace on 18 July 64 AD. This very fire burned for 6 days and 7 nights, and he blamed the Christians for it and therefore made it illegal. And from that point forward, athletic competition became a form of entertainment, if you will, in a way just to offset the growth of Christianity. But we know that the more they killed, the more it grew. Beloved, these competitions played a significant role in filling and fueling the desire of man's flesh, in being entertained by the fight and the anguish of others. Yet the Apostle Paul, many times over, uses a comparison to athletics as exhortation rather than entertainment, comparing it to the Christian race which we must run when Christ moves in us. Beloved, races were common, both short and long, but they would differ from today, and those who received the most honor were those who could run the fastest and the farthest. So when we look at athleticism, when we look at sport, and we look at the things that may occur in our life, and we begin to compare our Christian life, our Christian walk, our Christian race, and how we should run it, we can compare those things to athleticism and a sporting event. I asked you early on, What if, as you look back to 2019, as you look back over the last 52 weeks, how did you utilize the opportunities given to you? How did you build upon the messages that were taught to you, the sermons that were preached? Did you sit there and try to soak everything you could out of them, or did you sit there and close your Bible and say, well, I got 30 more minutes and then I'm going home for my tea? Those are the questions that we ask today so that you can review and you can analyze this past year how you personally benefited from 2019. I remember when off-season would occur, the very first week of this year, I used this illustration. I'm going to use it again today just to kind of jar your memory. But when off-season would happen and November would roll around, my dad would typically sit me down. It was rare. It was many times over the Thanksgiving holiday in the United States. And he would sit me at the table and he'd say, now, B, here's the deal. Football season's over with for this year. And he would take a calendar out and he would say, this is exactly how many more weeks, this is how many days you have to train for the very next season, which preseason camp would always begin the first week of August. And when you look at the grand scheme of things, when the season is over with in mid or to the end of November, there really wasn't a whole lot of months in between there to train and prepare for the very next season of competition. But he always made this point to me. He said, for every single day that you skip, or every single day that you don't benefit from, or every single day that you slack off, the guy that's going to be across the line from you, the guy that you're competing with, the guy, your opponent on that other team, he's not doing it. He's out there training. He's out there working hard. And the one that's going to win on the battlefield, the one that's going to win on the gridiron, It is going to be the one who doesn't miss days. And I'm going to say this to us in our Christian life today. The one that's going to succeed in Christianity, the one that's going to be successful in their life today, is the day that is the ones who do not miss the opportunities that are given, who don't slack off on the benefit that the Lord has given them, the opportunities, the offering, if you will, of what Christ has prepared for us every single day. Paul uses these illustrations many times in his teachings, that of athleticism, that of sport. He always is indicating that the importance of the race, point number one today, is to be ran with patience. Is to be ran with patience. Look there in verse 1, we find in the latter part, after he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset, he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Beloved, this race is called the Christian race. It must be ran with patient thought. Endurance in the midst of edification, guys, and exhortation in our life. The word edify means to be lifted up. The word exhort means to be warned. And between edification and exhortation, between being lifted up in your spirit and warned in your heart and mind, we must run this race with patience. It is not a race to be finished quickly. The Christian race has never been a sprint. It has never been a dash. But a race that is built upon quality as opposed to quantity or simply qualifying in our life. I will say this today, that there are too many in our world today that feel as just qualifying for the race, that they are okay, they are fine. If they just get saved, they will just be well and everything is all right. And beloved, listen, when you get saved, when a person makes that decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're only getting into the race then. You haven't even begun to run before that. The key is many long-distance runners, guys, that you find. I'm not a long-distance runner when it comes physically. Matter of fact, these days I'm not a short distance runner, amen. When it comes to running, but long distance runners, they will shed pounds, they will shed weight, they will strip their garments down to the bare minimum just to get a 1 second time longer in the race or a 10 meters further in the race. Verse 1 tells us to lay aside. It says lay aside there the weight and the sin that so doth easily beset us. The word beset doesn't mean to end or to ruin. The word beset doesn't even mean to stop. It only means to knock off course. It means to slow down and hinder. The main word being hinder. It's an awkward thing to attempt to run a race with unnecessary weights about us, with unnecessary garments attached to us. Baggage from the past or parcels from the present that we pick up simply weigh us down and hinder the race that we must run. Guys, when a person is born again, when you become saved in this world, when you make that decision to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have a choice. You're in the race whether you like it or not. Some people are standing still in the race while everyone else is passing them by. Some are just getting involved a little bit and they're walking ever so gingerly. Someone's power walking like they used to do back in the 80s, and other ones are running as hard as they can. Beloved, many will start out well in the race. Just as we look back to throughout this year, many started out right. If we go back 52 weeks, there was many that grabbed a hold of that very first opening sermon when we gave the introduction of the discipline mindset. There were many that started out and said, you know what, this sounds great, I'm going to apply this. They started out faithful. They intended to be diligent in their attendance, in their prayer, in their reading, and in their witness. But what happened? What happened was they moved on with weights along the way. Paul saw the same thing in Galatians. I think I may be off back here. No, there we are. Galatians 5:7 says you did run well. Paul writes back unto the Galatians, says you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Someone moved into the church there in Galatia. They began to teach things that were false doctrine. And we see this all throughout Christianity. Guys, the false doctrine that is being taught in churches immediately around us and throughout the world today is nothing new. They did it in the very birth of Christianity. They falsified documents. They wrote letters, as it were, from Paul. That's the same thing that you have today in these perverted manuscripts, if you will, taking words out, applying new words. Listen, you're not smarter than God. Amen. There's not a soul on this earth today that knows more than God. And there ain't a soul on this earth today that can do anything better than what God did when he gave us the book that I have before us right here, right now. Amen. If you think otherwise, guys, you're fooling yourself. Matter of fact, I got a bridge in New York to sell you if you think otherwise, amen. I'll take check, cash, or direct debit. John Bunyan said this. He said, "There was a man, though some did count him mad, the more he cast away, the more he had." I have read that quote for I don't know how many years. And the first time that I read it, I looked at it, I said, man, what about that? And first thing you think about it, what I thought about in my life first, I thought, okay, well, the more a person gives, they give to God. You can't outgive God. You think about tithes, you think about offering, you think about missions. And I don't think Bunyan meant that at all. And you think about maybe giving of this and you giving of that and taking away. I don't think Bunyan meant even of giving of our time, of our talent, or our treasures when he wrote that. I believe he just was taking things out of his life to make him closer to God. I believe John Bunyan means the same thing when he said that Paul meant in Hebrews chapter 12. Just lay aside the weights. There's a difference between weight and sin. Weight will eventually become sin because it's hindering you in your Christian life. But sometimes there are good things in our life. Maybe busy schedules. And they're just hindering us from being who we need to be from Christ. Sometimes it's an attitude. Sometimes it can be something that we've worked for all of our life to maybe increase our intelligence, increase our education, increase our physical ability, whatever it may be. And it's becoming a weight because it's robbing you of the faith that you need. We need to shed pounds, guys. We need to shed stones, if you will, the weights that we picked up from this world. We're now ready to run this race and run this race with patience. Can I tell you that missions is a game of patience? I don't believe we understand that in the world that we live in today, in our social media / instant, insta-famous Instagram world today. People about have a total meltdown if they don't have 150, likes on their Instagram or their social media today, you know, within the next 30 seconds. And I say the next 30 seconds because about a minute later, they're posting a new picture and a new one. And you understand what I'm saying. We live in a world built upon instant gratification. We live in a world where children are becoming depressed because their counterpart got more likes or so-called friends. Listen, can I say this to you? Guys, if you probably by the end of your life will be able to count on one hand how many true friends you have. Very rarely, very few of them are going to be found on Facebook, Instagram, and all the other stuff. I'm not tearing it down, guys. I'm not ripping social media apart, but I am telling you this. Don't place your livelihood on what somebody thinks about you or what they like or heart or poke or whatever they do. I don't know. Missions is a game of patience. Now, before you turn off and say, well, I'm not a missionary, if you're here today and you're saved, you're a missionary. Amen? My sweet mom, I remember missions conference about 20 years ago. We were in our little round building. The little round building that probably could fit in this sanctuary, to be honest with you. We were in our little round building, second missions conference, I believe, of the church's existence. And I said, if you're here today and you're a missionary, I think we had about 21 missionaries coming through that year. I said, if you're a missionary here this morning as we kick our missions conference up, I'm asking you to stand, if you will. And every one of those visiting missionaries stood up. And my mother. And I just smiled. I didn't set it up. I didn't plan it. But she knew. You all have a mission field. Your mission field is going to be different than my mission field, yet they will overlap. That's God's plan, my friend. You take care. Bailey and I were talking about this on the way to church this morning. Different topic, but the same principle. If you take care of the area that God has given you, and I take care of the area that God has given me, and Wendy takes care of the area that God has given her, and Daisy and Mel, and all throughout Christianum today, then the will of God is being served. You know what that's called? It's called the Great Commission. Missions is a game of patience. Patience and diligence in our life. In Western Africa, it was 14 years before one convert was received in the church. In East Africa, it took 10 years. In New Zealand, there was 9 years before one baptism and 2 more years before one communicant. In Tahiti, it was 16 years before the first harvest. William Carey labored 7 years before the first Hindu convert was baptized. In Burma, Judson toiled for 7 years before he had one. Matter of fact, one time Judson wrote back to England and he says, "Beg the churches to have patience. If a ship were here to carry me to any part of the world, I would not leave my field. Tell the brethren success is as certain as the promise of a faithful God can make it." Patience, my friend. Patience in the ministry. Patience in the mission field. Patience in the members' lives. That's how this race is run. That's how you go forward. We don't understand it in our society, but the Bible doesn't change. Amen. Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So the Christian race is not only a race to be ran with patience, my friend, but it's a race to be set to progress. Look back in verse 1. We should progress in our Christian lives in this race. Verse 1 again tells us the race that is what? What's that? Those next few words? That is set before us. Going to tell you this, that the race is not set behind you. Yeah, I believe we need to look back and evaluate our lives, but you can't run a race looking backwards, amen. But beloved, the Christian race is moving forward. It's a moving forward progress. It's a forward race that we have in our life. It's not a race that can be ran while moving backwards, nor side to side, but progressing forward always. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, over to Proverbs. This came from my private reading here a week or so ago. But go to Proverbs chapter 4 with me quickly this morning. See how quick you can get there. If we were having sword drills, I won. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, just real quick. We look at a couple of verses here. I want you to see this here. Notice this with me. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible says, I have taught thee, verse 11 is where we're beginning. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Skip down to verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil. Guys, the Christian race today is a straight path. It is a straight race. It is a race that is not to be turning to the left or right. It's a race that is to be ran with patience. It's a race that is to be progressing forward, not looking back, not focusing on failures. I believe it is important that we learn from what we have done wrong. I do believe that. I believe that we should evaluate our life and to see how we can improve our Christian life. We should not be focusing on past failures, nor turning to the left, nor to the right hand. We should be moving forward. The old hymn says, onward Christian soldiers, as one may say. Doesn't hurt to learn from the past, lest you repeat it. But you can't focus on it. Your eyes are to be set forward. If you're going to go forward in the new year, if you're going to go forward in the last few days of this year, you're going to have to be looking forward and progressing forward. Turn back to the New Testament, if you will. Actually, I'm going to have you turn to Philippians chapter 3. If you can go to Philippians chapter 3. We know what Paul says here. This is his personal testimony. He lost everything. We understand that. Paul was saved. We know that Paul had all the preeminence, the power, the position. We had the prestige. He was looking for the promotion. He was about to become, he was already a representative of the synagogue of Cilicia. We understand that. And Paul was well on his way to being the high priest there in Israel. And yet the Lord changed all of that on the road to Damascus. And in Philippians chapter 3, looking in verse 12 with me, this is what the Bible says. It says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Watch this. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Friend, that which is behind us becomes a weight in a race that we are already running. There is nothing we can do about the past. The only thing that we can do with it is learn not to repeat it. A famous German philosopher, a loss is a day is long, from what I understand, an atheist, but he had some wise words. He said, "He that learns not from history is condemned to repeat it." George Ciniani. It's time to move forward in our life. Today's the last Sunday of 2019, and guess what, guys? You may have already thought back to the other 51 days, other 51 sermons, the other 51 Sunday mornings, and may look back and say, you know what? I failed to obey this one. I failed to apply this one. I fell asleep on that one. You may have already thought about that in the opening parts of the message today, and that's fine. Learn from that, but don't carry it around. It's done and it's over with, guys. There's nothing you can do from it. It's time to move forward. Our marching orders are given to run a race that is set before us, not behind us. To run a race with patience so that we may progress. So guys, we need to run this race with patience. We need to go forward in our life to progress, because there's a prize on the other side. There's a prize on the other side. Hold your place there in Philippians 3. And you see there in Philippians chapter 3, very familiar passage we understand. The very next verse, verse 14, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Friend, when we compete, we're competing not to place, but to win. Hey guys, you have already lost in your mind and in your heart today if you're willing to set out to end up second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh. We must start to win. We must begin to move forward so that we can progress toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? One receiveth the prize." He says, so run that you may obtain. Obtain what? Obtain that prize. Don't run just to say, well, you know what? I got 3/4 the way. Don't run to say, well, you know what? I did the best I can. Hey, don't run so that you can end up a mediocre in your days, but run so that you may win, my friend, and start out with that mindset. The owner of a donut shop put a sign in the front of his window. He said, "When a long life's journey you roll, keep your eye on the donut and not on the hole." I thought, I like that. I like that. Start that you may win. Start that you may finish in the race that God has given you. Guys, we have a Christian race, but guess what? Each one of our race is different. We're not running on the same track. We're not running on the same pattern. We're not running against one another. I preached 2 weeks ago on the adversary. That's who we're running against today. Start that you may finish. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 7, he says, "I have fought a good fight." Watch this. "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He said, "I finished my course and I kept the faith." Every one of us are in the Christian race, but within that Christian race is layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of different courses that we're running. And God's done it like that for a particular purpose. So that this world may hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that this world may have an opportunity to give their heart and their life over to Him. Verse 8 tells us this in 2 Timothy, Paul's testimony, saying, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me that day. And not to me only, but all them also that love His appearing." Now think about that for just a second. Paul told us just a moment ago, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize." Now, if there is only one prize out of the billions of people that have been saved over the course of nearly 2,000 years, then you got one winner and everybody else is losers. But see, everyone has a different course. Everyone has a different path. Everyone has a different race for the same purpose of the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. And is that prize that God has set before you, that is set next to Him at the end of this race, the author and finisher of our faith, that is set there in the heavens today that we must run toward? The Christian race is to be ran with patience, to progress by pressing toward the prize. But praise the Lord today. Guys, here's the benefit of it. This is the last point coming up. Praise God that we're not running alone. You may have your course and I have my course and I understand that. But as we run along this race, we are surrounded by the witnesses and the testimonies of saints gone past. Of saints gone past. Back in Hebrews chapter 1 in our text, verse 1 tells us, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Guys, we are encompassed about by a multitude of saints of days gone past, those who have left a legacy of victory in their life and to the next. They're not sat there cheering us on. I don't even believe those saints can see us. That doesn't even line up with Scripture. What I believe today is that they've left a legacy for you and I to be able to follow. They've left a testimony and a witness that if they can do it, the same God that they did it under is the same God that we serve today, that we cannot run and we should not run in vain today. Their testimony gives us encouragement that we can run in faith. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Friend, we are in this together. It is an orchestrated teamwork as we run to the finish line. The saints of old have given us their testimony. We have seen their witness before us. And as soon as we are tempted to stop or to quit or to slow down, we're surrounded by that legacy, that testimony that they have left to say, keep going forward. 2019 is coming to a close, and there's not one thing that you and I can do about it. And the new year, by the Lord's grace, is just right around the corner. It should be a year, hopefully, full of new things, new beginnings, new days, and new opportunities. A year filled that we may move forward in by pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So let us run this race. Let us go forward this morning. Let us move in the way that we should. Paul said, in 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27, he says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." If you're going to go forward today, you've got to go forward with purpose. If you're going to go forward today, you're going to have to run this race with patience. If you're going to go forward today, you're going to have to move to progress in the way and toward the prize, utilizing the testimony of the past to push you in the right direction. It is a race, my friend. It's not a sprint. It's not a dash. It's not a flight. It's a race. It is a race that God has put us in, and each and every single one of us has a different course with the same goal, and that's to finish where our author and finisher of faith, Lord Jesus Christ, has already given us the testimony that he's done so. So my friend, when you're discouraged, if you look back over 2019 and you say, you know what, shoulda, coulda, woulda, so be it. Learn from it, live through it, but put it behind you. Get your eyes fixed and focused on our Savior who has finished the race for us. And let us move forward today. Let us go forward for the new year, fueled by the faith that Christ has given us. And mind you, that Christ has finished. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be here today. I ask you to help us, Father, go forward in the new year. Lord, in just the last couple of days of this year, help us ever be so mindful, Lord, to continue to go forward in our life, to move in the direction that you would have us to go. Father, open up those opportunities, open up those doors, open up those windows. But Lord, when they are opened up in our life, let us recognize them for what they are and help us step through them. Help us step through them in faith, keeping our eyes on the finish line and the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this 52nd Sunday here at Sarat. And I pray, dear God, should you tarry, you're appearing in the air. I ask there be many more to follow. Pray, Lord, for the souls that will be born again through the work here. I pray, Father, that you'd help us continue to grow in grace and in boldness, Lord. I pray that you bless every young person in our community. Help us make a difference here in the lives of those we come into contact with. And Lord, when our race is over, and those who take the baton from us, Father, I pray that we leave a testimony. Years to come, dear God, I pray that a testimony of faith would be here, that people would finish their course fueled by faith. In Jesus' name we do ask. Amen and amen. Hope and pray that God was good to you through the teaching and preaching of His Word this morning. Trust that He was. Amen. Amen. Brother Preston, if you'll come this morning for our final hymn of the day. Looking forward to our singing this morning. Spectacular job, everyone.